8 to the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And while you were turning there, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This certifies that Christopher Tackett, in obedience to the command and in following the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, was baptized in the name of Jesus on the 7th day of April in the year 2022, right here this morning. We're excited about what God's doing in Chris's life. Let's give God a hand clap of praise for what he's doing in Brother Chris's life. Thankful for what God's doing. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 1. The prophet said, I will stand upon my watch and will set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. The Lord answered me and said, Write the vision, make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. I'm going to preach tonight a message you've heard years ago. Others have heard since then, and we've put a little bit of Holy Ghost spit shine on it. Cut a little bit here and added a little bit there and changed the title. The original title was, Are You Reading What I'm Writing? But we're going to preach it tonight as That He May Run. That He May Run. Let's put our Bibles down and let's go before the Lord in prayer tonight. Jesus, we love you and we thank you for your spirit that is here in this place tonight. God, I thank you for all of your children, all of this congregation that is here tonight. God, I pray, Lord, that you would move in every heart, in every mind, and in every life. God, I pray that we would be doers of the word and not hearers only. I pray, God, that your will would be accomplished in me, in us, that you would revive me, that you would revive us, that you would revive your works in us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Why don't you give God a hand clap of praise tonight? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You can be seated tonight. Before we begin preaching, I want to say a great big thank you to all of you who came yesterday for our church-wide cleaning day. This place is smelling fantastic. Smells like cleaner and hard work. And we appreciate all of your hard work. It's important to keep the house of God in order, and the outside is looking great. And I just tell you, I just love it. I just love it. So thank you for all of your hard work. Thank you for all of you who have been traveling to visit Brother Levi in the nursing facility. And it is uncomfortable to see him that way. And the time is drawing near. And so we want to continue being the church family. Amen. And I am praying that he finds rest that he deserves. So if you have not been yet to see him, or it's been a while, you're going to want to do that rather quickly, in Jesus' name. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 1 says, I will stand upon my watch, set me upon the tower. Now, little is known about this prophet Habakkuk, or Habakkuk, or Habakkuk, or Habby, or Kooky. I don't know. Habakkuk. Little is known about him other than his name, which means one who embraces. His name is from a primitive root word that was used to refer to both a sense of affection or comfort. One who embraces. I just love you. It's just so good to see you. And embrace that way. Or the other way that the name can be interpreted is as in someone who is grappling, someone who is wrestling, somebody who is grabbed hold of something or someone and is not letting go. Now, I believe because Habakkuk was a man of God that we could view him and his name in both ways. That he was embracing the call of God, the people of God, and the message of God, but he was also wrestling with everything that God wanted to do. One of the few things that we know for sure about this man of God is that he loves the things of God, which is why that we recognize that this book of prophecy opens with force. He is a watchman. In Spanish, it's actually the word vigilante. He is a watchman. He is set upon his watch. He is the man of God. He is attentive to what the Lord would say to him. He has been in a place of prayer and consecration as a watchman, as someone who is on the wall, and he is keeping watch over the inheritance of God. He is not attempting to lord over it, but he is attempting to hear what the word of God would be. And the Bible tells us that Habakkuk has been praying. And in verse 1 of chapter 1, it says, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. The word literally means the load. It's like Habakkuk has been the recipient of something that is heavy, something that is weighing upon him. It is something that he saw. It is something that he tapped into the spirit world, and he saw it in prayer, and he said, oh Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? I see spoiling and violence there ever before me. And there are those that raise up strife and contention. You can kind of get the image and hear the tone of the vigilante here. I see violence and I see this, and grievance and spoiling are before me, strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked and judgment doth never go forth, for the wicked doth compass about the righteous. God, there's righteous folks everywhere, and everywhere the righteous folks are, the evil folks are there, and the evil folks have them surrounded, and it's like they can't move forward and they can't move backward, and wrong judgment is everywhere. God, it feels like your people are just tossed to and fro from pillar to post, and God, it seems like you're nowhere to be found. And I pray and I pray and I pray and I pray. Law is slacked. Wrong judgment proceedeth. He has seen a vision from God. Right. I present to you tonight that there are two requirements to successfully living the Christian life. The first is you must have a vision. The second is you must have passion. Habakkuk, the one who embraces, has a passion for the things and the ways of God. He has a passion for the vision. He sees what is going on around him. He is frustrated with things that are going on around him. He sees how lawlessness is overcoming those who are righteous. And he sees how they are abused. And he sees how they are beat down. I'm just going to preach tonight like I feel it. I am so sick and I am so tired of watching God's people beaten down. And every time you feel like you're getting ahead, all of a sudden here comes something else. And you get beat down and it affects your worship, and you don't feel the liberty to lift your hands, and you don't feel the liberty to lift your face, and you don't feel the liberty to worship and praise God. I'm come to preach with the passion of the watchman tonight. I've got a passion like Habakkuk had a passion. He said, God, I'm tired of watching all of this. He's frustrated. He's wanting things to change. He wants God's people to live to their fullest potential. And his prayer has been so heavy that he was braced for God's rebuke. The burden. He said, I'll stand upon my watch. I'll stand. I'll take a stand. It's military terminology. This is where we take the stand. He said, I'm not letting it come any further.
All right.
I wish tonight that we would get that in our spirit. I'm not going to let it come any closer. That's the line. Don't cross it. I'm taking a stand. No more. He said, I will stand upon my watch and I will set me upon the tower. I got to get to a high place. I'm going to preach today to the modern church believer, the modern spirit-filled believer. What is Habakkuk doing? Habakkuk is giving us a model to follow. I'm drawing the line. This is where the buck stops. The buck stops here. I got to get to a high place in prayer. I got to press into the spirit. I got to get up to the tower. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are saved. I come to preach to a Habakkuk tonight. You got to get into the name of the Lord. You got to start proclaiming the name. Well, I don't know how to pray those fancy prayers. You don't have to know how to pray fancy prayers. You just got to remember how to speak the name of Jesus. Jesus, I feel the pressure right now. Jesus, I feel it pressing in on me. God, I can't live like this another day. God, I can't go through this anymore. It's got to stop today. And I plead the blood of Jesus, the blood that was shed for me. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, your word says that your name is a strong tower. I'm running into you right now. I want your presence. I want your spirit. You know what you do? You find those verses in Psalms and you start praying them out loud. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into God. I'm righteous. God, I want to do what's right. I'm coming into you. Be my strong tower. Got to get to that place in prayer. And I'm going to watch to see what he'll say unto me. The prayer is so hot. The prayer is so heavy. The burden is so loathsome. The burden is such a load that Habakkuk literally feels like he has crossed the line with God. He said, I'm going to find out what he's going to answer me when I am reproved. God, I just want you to speak. It's been too long that you've been silent. God, if you've got to correct me, at least I'm hearing your voice. Vision. He's got passion. He said, I will stand upon my watch. I will set me. I'm stationing myself. It's literally what it means. I'm stationing myself at the tower. When's the last time we stationed ourselves in prayer? When's the last time? When's the last time that we decided something's got to give? I'm not leaving here until I feel it break. We don't know much about Habakkuk, but we know this much. He's making these choices himself. His contemporary prophets could not make these choices for him. He couldn't have gone to them, whoever they were, and he couldn't have said, hey, would you please pray with me? Help me get there. No, he's got to make up the decision on his own. He has to make up the choice on his own. He's making these choices himself. He is positioning himself. I will stand. I will set me. I am taking a stand upon my watch. It is my turn to watch. It is my turn to pray. I'm going to tell you what we're doing right now as we get closer to the youth rally. We're not just doing this because Pastor asked us to do it. We need to start doing this. We need to start praying and fasting as if this is my watch. This is my moment. We could get aggravated and we say, my God, I'm the only one praying and fasting today. And there's not even a single day on here with only one person. But in our flesh, in our humanity, we could say, well, you know what? Here I am just doing the work and everybody else is going to enjoy the benefits. Or we could start saying, God, I thank you for the opportunity for me to take this responsibility so my brothers and my sisters can rest. That's what a military watch was. Is it's my turn to guard the fortress. It's my turn to guard the camp. It's my turn to guard the platoon so you guys can go rest. And if anything's going down, I'm taking responsibility to sound the alarm. And when the alarm is sounded, everybody jumps into the fight. But God, here is Habakkuk. And Habakkuk is preaching to us tonight. And Habakkuk is saying, my God, there's power when you decide. I'm stepping into the arena. I'm getting off of the sidelines. I'm getting out of the cot. I'm getting out of my sleeping bag. And I'm getting into the fight. I'm going to set myself upon the watch. I'm going to set myself on the fortress. I'm going to watch. And God, I'm so desperate to hear you speak that even if the only words you speak are correction, I'll take it. He's positioning himself. I've prayed. I've spoken to God of my concerns. I've spoken to God with my petitions. I want things to change, but it's not enough to just want things to change. It's not enough to just want things to change. You might want to make more money, but if you call into work tomorrow, you chuckle because wanting is not enough. There must be action. Dave Ramsey said the early bird gets the worm, but God doesn't drop the worm in the bird's nest. The bird's got to wake up and get out of the nest and get about some business. He's positioning himself because he understands that it is not just enough to want things to change. It's not enough to just want to be used by God. It's not enough to just want revival. It's not enough to just want to be a soul winner. Dare I say, it is not enough for us tonight for just the pastor to have the vision. It's not enough for us to just desire to be used by God. But before long, we're going to realize that we've got to get ourselves into a position where God can use us, and we start working for Him, and we start giving Him something to work with. If I want to be a soul winner, but I don't ever evangelize, then anointing is not enough. If I want to teach a Bible study, but I don't ever ask anybody if they want a Bible study, then anointing is not enough. If I want my children to be raised in the house of God, but I don't ever bring them to the house of God, wanting to is not enough. But somewhere along the way, there's got to be some action that's put together with the want. Back at 2, verse 2. And the Lord answered me. See what happens after he puts himself into the proper position? He had apparently spent a fair amount of time observing, fuming, even simmering on a low boil. He's seeing the unrighteous actions. He's seeing the oppression of his people. He's seeing the unrighteous flourish and the righteous be beaten down. But when he positioned himself for action, God responded. And God said, write the vision. I find it interesting that in verse 1, Habakkuk had said, and I shall answer when I am reproved. And what I shall answer when I am reproved. It's amazing to me that the Lord answered him when Habakkuk was willing to accept whatever it was that God was going to dish out. I wonder how many times God desires to speak to me, but based on my own agenda and based on what I want to hear, he can't speak to me because I'm not willing to listen to what I don't want to hear. But I want to be like Habakkuk, where it says, God, even if you got to rake me over the coals, I just want to hear your voice. And God said, that's the kind of spirit that I can use. If you're willing to let me speak into your world, even when it's correction, even when it's uncomfortable. The Lord answered. And he said, write the vision. Make it plain upon tables. Believe it or not, God wants his word to be shared. And he wanted to give an opportunity to more than just Habakkuk. Habakkuk, the word is going to come to you. The vision, it literally means the divine communication. The divine communication is coming to you. But it's not just for you. The divine communication is not just for you. And it's a theme, it's an element that we see throughout Scripture. Why do you think the book of Job is not just for Job? I don't know that Job necessarily wanted to go back and read it as light bedtime reading.
But it was divine communication that all humanity could glean from. You see it even in the epistles, the general epistles and the pastoral epistles. You see it that Paul would write an epistle, or Peter would write his epistle, and they would deliver it to one church. But then it would be shared with all of those who were in that region, and as many as they could get the message to, because it was not just for one individual. We see it in the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk, write the vision. Write the divine communication, because this is not just for you. Make it plain upon tables. God wants his word to be shared with each and every one of us. He wants you to know tonight that he wants to speak into your world. He wants to speak into your home. He wants to speak into your family. He wants to speak into your life. Yes.
Divine communication. Make it plain upon tables that he may run. The word is used of couriers that would dash to and fro. They would be given the message. They would be given a destination. And it was their duty, their obligation, to get the message from point A to point B. They were couriers. However, there's another level to that role, and that is that they were to guard the message. They had a responsibility to guard the message. That if somebody got in their way, the message was to be protected at all costs. Are you trying to take my message? You are? I'll tell you right now, you're not going to take my message, you little punk. Yeah. Be like a divine speed bump. You trying to take my message? That's what I thought. Yeah. You trying to take my message? That's what I thought. Are you trying to take my message? Oh, you're writing your own. They had a duty. That the message has got to be delivered.
Right.
And if you get in my way, and the choice comes down to you or the message. I'm not losing the message. I'm not going to lose what God has given to me. I'm not going to lose what God has delivered. It's not just to run. It's not just to expend energy and sweat and breathe heavily and your face turn flush. It's not just burning calories. It's not exercising. But to guard and to protect. I have a responsibility to protect what God is saying. I am responsible to protect the word of God as it is delivered into my life. I've got a responsibility to protect the revelation that God brings into my world. I'm just going to preach it like I feel it tonight. I hope nobody's trying to sleep on me on a Sunday night. I got a responsibility tonight, honey, to protect the message of the oneness of God in my life. I got a responsibility to protect the message of salvation in my life. I've got a responsibility to protect the elements of holiness in my life, because that's the word of God that was delivered to me and delivered to you. I've got a responsibility to protect the message of separation from the world. I've got a responsibility. I got a responsibility to protect my prayer life. I've got a responsibility to protect my daily Bible reading. I've got a responsibility to protect my time and to make sure I'm not putting idols in my life. I got a responsibility to protect the word of God.
I've got a responsibility to protect the word of God as it's preached. Even tonight, while I'm preaching, you've got a responsibility to protect this word of God in your life. What does that mean, Pastor? How do I do that, Pastor? What does it mean, protect the word of God in my life? That when you hear the preached word of God, you make up your mind, I'm not letting anything into my life that's going to rob me from that revelation. Won't do it. I don't care what they say. No, I know we do care. But I can't care what they say more than I care about the word. Well, what if they don't agree? That he may run that readeth it. 1 Samuel chapter 17. It's not enough to envision the victory. It's not enough to just come into the house of God and hear the word of God preach, and man, our faith just starts soaring. Oh yeah. God's a healer. God's a miracle worker. How much more effective could the word of God be if we have been hearing preaching about miracles, signs, and wonders, and when we go to Walmart, we see somebody that's crippled. And instead of being like, hey, excuse me, I'm sorry, do you know where the double stuffed Oreos are at? I'm sorry, that's a silly question. I know exactly where they're at. I'm sorry, sir, do you happen to know where the salad is at? Where the health food section is at? But what if the next time that would happen and we have grabbed hold of the word of God? We say, hey, my pastor preached tonight that God's still a miracle worker. Can I pray for you?
Amen.
It's not that late. Most of us wouldn't have even eaten dinner yet if we'd have been at home. Don't be falling asleep on me tonight.
Amen.
That he may run that readeth it. It's not enough to just envision. It's not enough to just envision a multicultural church. It's not enough to just envision having a congregation filled with those from all over the world. But when I make up my mind that I'm going to run with the word of God that is preached, let me give you an example. When pastor starts preaching that we're going to have some folks coming in that don't speak English, then if I'm running with the message, I'm going to pull up Duolingo. I'm going to find some other resource, and I'm going to start learning the languages, because I want them to have access to the Spirit of God and the kingdom of God. So I want to run with the vision. Not enough to just envision it, but I have to run with it. Every leader needs managers. What's the difference? Here it is in short. The leader sells it. The manager tells it. The manager puts boots to the ground. The manager grabs the vision and puts it into action. Why don't you turn and slap your neighbor and tell him, hey, wake up, it's Sunday night. Some of y'all were way too nice. Say, hey, I'm going to slap you so pastor doesn't. Or we start talking about, hey, our bus routes can grow. if we're really getting a hold of the vision, if we're really running with it, you know what we're going to do? Come on. We're going to go out and get our CDL. You know what we're going to do? We're going to go buy a bus. But I'm not going to buy any more buses until we got somebody to drive them. I'm just going to tell you. That he may run that readeth it. It's not enough for the pastor to just cast the vision. Paul said it this way. I planted, Apollos watered, but God provided the increase. Here's the beauty of all of that. Are you ready? When Apollos went in, Apollos was not a spirit-filled believer when he went into the synagogue and started preaching the baptism according to John. But Aquila and Priscilla, who were not apostles, but they had caught the vision of what the apostle Paul had been preaching. They brought Apollos aside and they said, Apollos, we know, we can see it. You're filled with fervor. You're a man of God. Let us expound to you the word of God more perfectly. And Apollos said, that's something I can get a hold of. And by the end of it, Paul was equating Apollos in the same bracket of ministry as himself. He said, I planted, but Apollos came along and Apollos watered. And all of a sudden there's apostolic synergy. Thanks, Apollos. Apostolic synergy. When Paul is planting and Aquila and Priscilla are in the synagogue, and they could have gotten mad and they could have said, oh my God, what does he think he's doing? You coming in here on the day that we're having synagogue church? But they were running with the vision. And because they ran with the vision, Apollos is inserted into the kingdom of God. And Apollos picks up the burden. And Apollos starts preaching the word of God. 1 Samuel chapter 17. It's not enough to just envision the victory. Verse 45, then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come unto thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. Mind you, David is at the oldest 17. Oldest, he was 17. At the youngest, 12 or 13. Facing a 9'6" roughly tall giant. This guy had muscles everywhere. Taller than me standing on this platform right here and right now. And David's just a teen. And David has been in the presence of God. And David understands the value of standing up for what is right. So he looks at this Philistine, who he never calls a giant. He just calls him a dirty sinner. You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver you into my hand. I'll smite you and I'll cut off your head. I'll take your head from you and I'll give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. I'm going to tell you right now, that's the power of an individual who gets in the spirit and begins to see the kingdom of God as it pertains to them, the kingdom of God as it is in their world, the kingdom of God as it can be for their family, the kingdom of God as it can be for their nation and for their neighbors. David is looking at one man, but David's claiming victory over the whole bunch. He said, I'm going to take your head from off of your shoulders, but I'm also coming after your friends. I'm also coming after the armies of the nation of Philistia. I'm coming after your buddies. I'm coming after the armies of the five kings of the Philistines, and I'm going to feed all of their carcasses to the birds in the air. And there's getting ready to be a Philistino buffet. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and the spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Notice how David is looking at one man, and he's claiming victory over them all. But David is standing there as one man, and David's reaching back into the caves and the hollows, and David's reaching back to the cowards, and he's saying, I know that when I take your head from your shoulders, their faith is getting ready to be aroused. They might be scared right now. They might be afraid right now. But I'm coming to tell you that they are going to have victory today as well. It's not just for me. It's us. The victory that you can get in the house of God is not just for you. Everybody here is going to know. Lord doesn't need sword and spear, but it's his battle. He'll give you into our hands. God can do it, and he's going to use us to accomplish his will. It came to pass when the Philistine arose,
and he came and drew nigh to meet David. Right. David
hasted, or hastened, and ran, not away. Didn't see how big that guy was. But he runs toward the army to meet the Philistine. He wasn't taking his time about it. He was acting quickly, because he had grabbed hold of the vision of God. He had grabbed hold of who he was in God and who God was in the world. And there was a power that came into the life of that young man, and a boldness into the mind and the heart of that young man when he said, I'm not just content seeing the vision. I'm not content just knowing what God can do. I want to see him do it. I'm running toward it. Let me preach to us today from David's perspective. Everybody that was on the battlefield had been listening to Goliath's mouth for 40 days and 40 nights. Everybody that was there had been listening to Goliath badmouth their country, badmouth their king, and badmouth their God. He had heard them. They had heard him for 40 days and 40 nights bashing their church, bashing their pastor, bashing their God, and all of that. But when David stepped onto the scene, David had tuned. He hadn't listened to any of that. There's power when somebody steps into the arena who's not been subjected to the powers that be. I'm going to tell you something. You're going to go into your workplace, and you're not living under the same restrictions as those other folks are living. You're not being subjected to all the voices that are telling them they're not going to ever be anything, that they're never going to make it, that they're just a waste, and a waste of oxygen and a waste of space. But you can step into your workplace, and you're a voice from outside. You're a voice from the kingdom of God. You're a voice that has been in the presence of God, has heard the word of God, and you've got the word of God, and you got it tucked in tight, and you're breaking tackles, and you're pushing away blockers, and you're stiff-arming demons. I got the word of God. Nope, sorry, boss, not today. Whoop, sorry, lawyer, not today. Boom, mailman, nope, sorry. And you can be the voice. that runs to the front line and says, today is a day of salvation. God can deliver you in the break room. God can deliver you at your workstation. God can deliver you in your school. God can deliver you in the locker room. God can deliver you in the bathroom. God can deliver you wherever you're at, the parking lot, the cash register. It does not matter where you are. When you step onto the scene, you're stepping in there a child of God. You're stepping in there as one with the Word of God. I'm preaching to us tonight that you can step onto that field like David, and you can say, I know that you may not see how it's going to work out right now, but trust me, I've had victories before, and I'm going to have another victory today, and by the end of the day, you're going to have victory. And you're going to have victory. And you're going to have victory. Everybody's going to have victory today. David ran. When you get a hold of the Word of God, it's not time to sit there and let it just fester. It's not time to sit there and just try to postulate it all out. No, you need action now. David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone, slung it, smote the Philistine in the forehead, and that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face. Stone hits him in the forehead. If it was just a physical thing, Brother AJ, he should have fallen backwards. Physics demands that he fall backwards. But it was not just a little lesson in Newton's laws. It wasn't a simple little science lesson. It wasn't a fluke. But it's like God was standing behind the giant and just said, bloop. Like he flicked him in the back of the head. He said, I'm going to work with you, David. When you step into your school, when you step into your workplace, when you step into your home with unsaved loved ones, when you pick up the phone to an unsaved individual, you are the voice with the vision. You are the voice filled with the Spirit of God. And God said, I can use you in this moment. Your pastor's not here, but I can use you right now. This person needs prayed through. Oh, I should call pastor. You don't have time to call pastor. You just got time to act. You just got time to pray. You got to have time to stir a gift. You just got time to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. You've got to run with the vision. When the Word of God is preached across this sacred desk, it's your responsibility to grab it and say, I'm taking that home with me. I'm protecting it. I'm guarding it. I'm running with the vision. I'm going to make sure I'm putting boots to the ground. I'm putting this into action. David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Smote the Philistine, slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. And to those in the arena, David's words to Goliath would have seemed imbecilic and asinine. How are you going to rip his head off? How are you going to remove his head? David, you don't even have a sword. Well, you take what the enemy meant for evil. And he reaches down, probably with both hands. And pulls out Goliath's own sword. Verse 51. David ran.
stood on top of that Philistine.
Yeah.
Literally stood on top of him. Pulled out his own sword and cut off his head.
Yeah.
And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. We see David running to Goliath as the battle is set into array. We see the stone sink into the forehead of Goliath and Goliath fall on his face. And then we see David run again. It's the running. It's the running. It's the running. God has promised that his people are going to be victorious, but somebody's got to run with it. Promise is going to be revival, but somebody's got to run with it. It's not enough to just want it. It's not enough to just believe it. It's not enough to just preach about it. It's not enough for pastor to believe it. It's not enough for Sister Fishburne to believe it. It's not enough for this one or that one to believe it. It's not enough for just me to believe it. If I believe it, listen, we talk about that in our Bible studies all the time. Well, belief leads to action. Therefore, believing is not enough. Believing in God is not enough. There must be action. It is the chi. It is the Greek word chi. It is tied to action. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not because there is no action shall be damned. Why should it be any different with anything else in the Word of God? Why should it be any different with the preached Word of God? I'm skipping way ahead. James chapter 1 and verse 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If we're going to teach it in our Bible studies, and we should, it's truth. It's right. If we're going to teach it in our Bible studies, then we've got to live it out in evangelism. We got to live it out in the Word of God. We got to live it out in the day to day. I got to put boots to the vision. I got to put boots to the mission. I got to get the vision and I got to get my passion involved. I got to have vision. I got to get in the Spirit of God. I got to get the Word of God. I got to guard it. I've got to protect it. And I got to do so with passion. And everywhere that I go, I'm going to walk with passion. I'm walking with the intent of carrying the Word of God, that he may run that readeth it. It is not enough. It is not enough for me to just read it. Musicians, you can come. Where did it start? It started with a burden. The burden which Habakkuk, the prophet, did see. Started with the load. Started with the weight of God's vision resting on the man of God. It started with a burden, but it didn't end with a burden. It's not enough for the man of God to come to the pulpit with a burden. It's not enough for me to come to the pulpit with a vision. It's not going to happen by my faith alone. But there needs to be a declaration to the spirit of our city tonight. It says, Pastor, when you preach, I'm going to grab a hold of what you're preaching. And I'm not just grabbing a hold of it in the moment or for the moment. I'm running with it.
I'll put boots on the ground. I'll give legs to the vision. I don't want to just be a hearer of the word, but I want to do it.
Right.
I want to do it. Acts 5, fresh off the heels of Ananias and Sapphira. Acts 5:12, by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. The people magnified them. The apostles are being elevated in the eyes of the people because faith is increasing, and faith is increasing because people are running with the vision. Faith is increasing because the disciples, not just Jesus' disciples, but the disciples of the apostles, are running with the vision. Hey, you ought to heard. You should have heard the message that the apostles preached in the synagogue. You should have heard what Peter, James, and John preached. You should have heard what they preached about in the temple. You should have seen the miracles that took place. They're running with the vision. They're carrying the doctrine. They're carrying daily. And believers were the more added to the Lord. Multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. We ought to make up our minds tonight as we stand all over this sanctuary. I'm not just going to hear the word. I don't want to just hear the word. I want to read what he's preaching. I want to catch the vision, and I want to run with the vision. They were running with what the apostles were doing. They were spreading faith. You should have heard what my pastor preached on Sunday. You ought to know that God can work it out. You ought to know that the word of God means what it says when it says that the Spirit and the bride say come. The Spirit is God's Spirit, but the bride is his church. And so there is a responsibility upon the church of the living God to run with the vision, to protect. To protect the word, to protect the vision. This is who God says we are. God says we're multicultural. God says we're trend setting, not trend following. God says we're the head and not the tail. God says that we're going to be blessed as we go out and as we come in. God says that we're going to be abundant. God says that we're breaking the back of this giant and that giant. And we are. And we are. Let me just put it to you this way. There are things in the works right now that we're not sure how it's going to work out, but we believe that God's in it. Not sure how it's going to work out. We're not sure if it's going to be a door for us to walk through or not, but it's going to be a door that gives us direction. And so we're not quite sure how it's going to work out, but what we do know is that we've got to get a hold of the vision. We got to get a hold of the vision that says we can fill this sanctuary with folks that are hungry and on fire for the word of God. We got to grab hold of the vision that says my youth group can double. My Sunday school department can double. It can triple. We can have folks getting the Holy Ghost on outreach. We can have whole folks getting the Holy Ghost on work days. We can start daughter works. You got to catch the vision of what God's doing. But will you run with it? That he may run that readeth. And I wonder tonight if I have anybody that would say, I want to run with what God's doing right now. I I want to be the carrier of the vision. I want to run with what God's doing. I want my voice to be heard. I want my prayer to be heard.